are spiritual warfare and demon possession only found in the time of Jesus and the apostles? The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for May is I Am Not Afraid, Demon Possession and Spiritual Warfare. You can browse before you buy at issuesetc.org, or you can call Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040. I Am Not Afraid, Demon Possession and Spiritual Warfare, The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for May, 1-800-325-3040.
The modern left has grown tired of debate. Their new strategy is simply to try to silence their critics.
When the local evangelical pastor gets up and ends his prayer with a reference to Jesus' sacrificial death on the cross, that moment in the parade of pluralism is offensive.
Sin essentially is high treason against the king, against the sovereign.
Your sins are forgiven. Though you're a rotten, damned sinner of the law, Jesus came for such sinners. Jesus loves sinners. Jesus comes only for sinners. Jesus dwells in sinners. Jesus is for you. You're forgiven.
I'm Daniel Berquist. I'm from Lincoln, Nebraska, and I'm a Macintosh software engineer. And I love Issues Etc.
Well, we have a lively interaction with our listeners here on Issues Etc. Now, many of our listeners are what we refer to as the beloved on-demand listeners. So that means that that interaction is, well, somewhat delayed. Let's put it that way. That means that our listeners are sometimes listening days, weeks, months behind our live broadcast schedule. That's fine. You can listen to whatever you want, whenever you want, and however you want. It also means that they have questions, they have comments, they have show suggestions or criticisms that need to be heard. Well, the best way for that to happen, actually we have two ways here at Issues Etc. for our listeners who listen on demand, and even those who listen live, to submit a question, a comment, a show suggestion, or criticism. One is our email address, talkback@issuesetc.org. We're going to be responding to some email here in this hour of Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. The other is the Issues Etc. comment line. That's a line that we leave open 24/7 for our listeners to call anytime with anything they want to say. 618-223-8382. 618-223-8382. 8382, the Issues Etc. comment line, and we'll get to some of those comments as well in the course of this hour of Issues Etc. Now, you can join us as well with questions or comments as we're going through email and the comment line, 1-877-623-MYIE. Send us one of those emails right here in the studio. We do get them in real time, even though we don't always respond in real time. talkback@issuesetc.org or send us a tweet at @issuesetc. To the email, Jeff's favorite part of Issues Etc.
I've got new glasses.
Oh, you do?
And I'm just hoping that maybe the new bifocals will help me.
How long have you had new glasses? You can tell how little I notice about you.
I think I got them a week ago Saturday. So
they don't look any different than the old glasses.
I know. I don't like change much, Wilkin.
Yeah, okay. Sorry for not noticing. That's at least, did you get your hair cut? You did shave, by the way. I think I noticed that.
Yeah, but I'm completely shaven. So if my reading doesn't improve, mm-hmm. I have no backup plan, no excuse to blame my poor reading skills on. So let's try these out. This comes from Ruben. He said he's talking about your interview with Pastor Jordan Cooper on the New Calvinist a couple weeks ago. He said Pastor Cooper did a good job through most of the show until the end where he flubbed it. The last time he was on Issues Etc. talking about Calvinists, he did a horrendous job trying to state what Calvinism is. Ruben continues, Pastor Cooper said that Calvinists don't have the same kind of assurance as Lutherans and that they really can't know the sacraments are given for them because they don't know if they are elect. Wrong! Exclamation point, writes Ruben. We have repented and believed. We are the elect. Only because we are elect can we repent and believe. I don't know any Calvinists who are unsure of their election. Yes, Jesus only died for the elect. If he died for everyone, including those in hell, which you purport, then they're being punished twice, which is clearly unbiblical and illogical. Your tradition blinds you to this. Another reason why I left Lutheranism, Ruben opines. Why is the non-elect person lost for eternity if, in fact, the wrath of God was poured on Christ for everyone? So you believe that God extracts double payment for sins? He punished them first in Christ, and then he will punish them again for eternity. And he's got something about our bump music later, but I'll let you deal with this first.
Okay. First of all, Pastor Jordan Cooper used to be, didn't he, Jeff, used to be a Calvinist?
Yes, he did.
Wasn't that long ago that he actually was a card-carrying Calvinist?
He actually wrote a Wittenberg Trail feature on his journey from Calvinism to Lutheranism.
Well, it shows how good my memory is. We had him on to talk about the new Calvinism most recently, which I've already forgotten what new Calvinism is as opposed to old Calvinism, but that's neither here nor there. The contention that Pastor Cooper made that Calvinists can't have the same kind of assurance as Lutherans, I think is actually proven by Ruben's email. Ruben said in the email, maybe I should have you read this again, when it says, how do we know that we're elect? We've repented and believed, and if we weren't elect, we wouldn't have repented and believed. Now, number one, that's kind of circular reasoning, and that should drive a Calvinist crazy. It doesn't really bother Lutherans to have circular reasoning because our doctrine isn't based upon reasoning but upon revelation. But for the Calvinist, circular reasoning should be a real problem. But notice you've proven my point and Pastor Jordan's point as well, Reuben, because that is not the kind of assurance that Lutherans have. The kind of assurance Lutherans have when they say, how can I be sure of my salvation, is Jesus died for me. Well, how do you know he died for you? He died for all. Oh, that's the assurance of the Lutheran. How do I know I'm saved? Jesus died for me. No doubt about it. He shed his blood for me. He paid the penalty for my sins. That's the best assurance you can have. But you'll notice, Reuben, that your assurance was, I know I'm elect. Now, that's a different thing than Jesus died for me, isn't it? Now, you might say, well, yeah, but Jesus did die for the elect. But notice how Jesus got left out of the entire formula of assurance. I know I'm elect. How do I know I'm elect? Well, there are those first-person pronouns, I've repented and believed. And I wouldn't have repented and believed if I were not elect. There's no Jesus in any of that circular reasoning, is there? And all the pronouns are not what Jesus has done. In Lutheran assurance, it's Jesus died for me. Jesus paid the penalty for my sins. He shed his blood for me. In the Calvinist assurance, as you have shown, I'm sure you didn't mean to in your email, your assurance is in what you've done. You've repented and believed, which serves as proof that you're elect, which then serves as proof that you are among the some, but not the all, for whom Jesus died. Now, you say that you don't know of any Calvinists who doubt their election. Ask around a little bit in moments of weakness. It's really easy when everybody's feeling great about themselves. The next time one of your friends really fall into a serious sin, ask him about his election. Just as an experiment. I mean, if Calvinists are so rock solid in their belief in their election, then the next time you come across a Calvinist who has really stumbled in sin, or maybe is deep in doubt, ask them, so how do you feel about your election now? How do you know you're elect now? How do you know you really repented and believed? How do you know you're not one of those in the Calvinist categories who thinks he's elect but is fooling himself? Who's sure of his election? Well, as sure as he can be in what he's done, but is only deceiving himself, but isn't. I think Calvinists still believe that there's a category of persons like that. I'm being kind of harsh with you because assurance isn't some small thing. Assurance is the thing. And if your assurance begins with, I've repented and believed, rather than Jesus died for me, there's a problem. Now, as to the question of whether or not those who die apart from Christ are punished twice, no, they've rejected the punishment that Christ has taken for them. They've said, what Jesus did for me on the cross was not enough. I had to do something else. And God says, if Jesus' punishment on the cross was not enough, if you want more punishment, you can have the punishment. That's the real, no one's dragged kicking and screaming into hell. That is the great, terrible mystery of sin. No one is dragged kicking and screaming into hell, wishing they could have gone to heaven instead. They all waltz in of their own volition, happy to do so. That's what Jesus means when he says, narrow is the way that leads to eternal life. Few pass along that way. And broad is the way that leads to eternal destruction. And the road, that road, is crowded with people all rushing headlong to hell. It's not, they're not, they don't think they're rejecting Christ's punishment for them on the cross, but they are. They're rejecting Christ himself. And to reject Christ is to reject, as Jesus says, the only way to the Father, the only way of salvation. Now, what did he have to say about the bump music?
He said the best part about the segment with Pastor Cooper was the use of Rush's free will for bump music. Who would have thunk someone at Issues Etc. would be cool enough to play Rush or even be aware of Rush, let alone such a great song? Is that middle section with the bass solo and the preceding guitar solo wherein all three guys are pretty much soloing, not one of the ultimate prog rock gifts of all time? I know. You're still more interested in hearing Coldplay. Thanks, Ruben.
Man, I tell you what, some people just get hung up on the bump music, don't they? Little secret, bump music is just there to fill time between Wilkin talking and the cue to break, or Wilkin talking and the spots. That's the only function that bump music plays in radio. It's not there. Well, sometimes we use it to reinforce a point. I mean, there's nothing wrong with that, but bump music is just bump music, okay? It's kind of like worrying about the, I don't know, walking into a house you're going to buy and worrying about what color they've painted the walls. You can repaint it anytime you want to. Don't worry about it. Don't worry about the bump music. It's just there to get us to the break. If this all confuses you, so tell me why. Why haven't I heard from you? Why
haven't I? Classical Christian hymnody is the exact opposite of this frivolity stuff.
Pastor Will Whedon, on his presentation at this summer's Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference.
In hymnody, there is this dialogue, if you will, between the doxa, the praise, the glorification, and the didache, the dogma, the teaching. Classic Christian hymnody in the liturgy does this. It glorifies God by proclaiming what he's done, by teaching what he's done, and holding both of these together. So the liturgy actually provides us hymns that have substance. And if we look at classical Christian hymnody, these are hymns that are just chocked full of meaning.
You can meet and hear Pastor Will Whedon making the case for Christian hymnody June 13th and 14th at the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference in Collinsville, Illinois. For more information, just look for the Making the Case logo at our homepage, issuesetc.org.
Producing 10 hours of live talk radio every week from a 500-square-foot office in Collinsville, Illinois, you're listening to Issues Etc.
Apostles Lutheran Church is in Melrose Park, Illinois. We invite you to our divine service, which is held every Sunday at 9:15. Please contact us at 847-455-0903 or check out our website at apostlesmelrosepark.org. We are located just south of O'Hare Airport, where airplanes are continually going up. Here at Apostles, we glory in the one who on the cross was lifted up for the sins of the world.
What happens when our theology is driven by freshness instead of faithfulness? I've written an article for the latest Issues Etc. journal titled New Thing Theology. You can read it by subscribing to the online Issues Etc. journal. Just look for the red subscription button in the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. The Wittenberg Trail feature details how Bob Leko journeyed from the Word Faith movement to faith in Christ alone. The free online Issues Etc. journal. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. It's Tuesday afternoon, May the 13th. We're going through listener email and the Issues Etc. comment line. Here's some feedback from yesterday's interview on a Black Satanic Mass that had been scheduled and did not end up being held at Harvard University.
Pastor Todd, your Issues Etc. Book of the Month is I Am Not Afraid, Demon Possession and Spiritual Warfare. I have read on several occasions of the reality of satanic activity and demon possession in other countries. You have also noted that the Word of God drives out Satan. While America is not a Christian nation, it has been a nation heavily influenced by Christianity, with a larger number of believers than today occupied with the Word of God. I am wondering if, as the number of believers decline and the influence of God's Word wanes in this country, we are not leaving room for Satan and may not find more instances of real possession and real spiritual warfare. I have read that at Harvard they are celebrating a satanic mass. I wonder if we are not vessels, and if we will reject and refuse God filling us with his words and his gifts, we do not leave room for Satan to fill us with his baleful influences. I had a friend of mine, his father once said that the easiest guy to sell to is an arrogant man who thinks he's smart. Play to his ego and you can sell him anything. And I really wonder if that's not our position with respect to Satan. We think we're smart. He plays to our ego, and he's selling us anything. Thank you.
That's a great saying from your father. I think you have a point. Now, look at what we've discovered as we have as the Christian faith has moved out into the world, into places where as yet Christ's name has not been heard. Now, you might say there are very few places like that in the world, although there are places where Christ's name has not been heard, where other religions have held sway. Those places are actually growing now, especially with the advance of Islam. The subject of the book we were talking about with its author, Dr. Robert Bennett, that you referenced there, I Am Not Afraid, Demon Possession, Spiritual Warfare, is about mission work in Madagascar, where the indigenous religion is a kind of animism, an ancestor veneration or worship, kind of appease the spirits of ancestors, either your immediate ancestors or distant ancestors. That is their religion. What do you find there? What did Dr. Bennett there find in his research? He found lots of cases of overt demon possession and a great need for the church to exercise the work of Satan from these people. Now, so the long and the short of that is, where Christ's name has not been heard, who do we expect to be running the show? We expect Satan to be running the show in some form or another, sometimes under the guise of another religion like Buddhism or Islam or Confucianism. He has many different religions that he is in charge of, but certainly not Christianity. And when Christianity encounters that, we will find Satan sometimes tipping his hand as to his presence. He's there in Islam. He's there in Confucianism. He's there in Buddhism. He's there in Hinduism. He masks himself very successfully. He doesn't say to the Hindu worshipers, guess what? This is a satanic religion. You're all really Satanists. No, he doesn't. He lets them believe what they believe. He doesn't care whether they believe in him or not, as long as they are robbed of the knowledge of Christ. Now, what you're asking there is, in a country where Christianity has culturally and socially held sway for the better part of three centuries, when that cultural or sociological influence is diminished, and when the actual hearing of the gospel Sunday by Sunday, even in its churches, is being diminished, because Satan doesn't care whether you go to church as long as you don't hear the gospel. He doesn't care if you go to church every day as long as you don't hear the gospel. Will we see Satan tipping his hand? Maybe we will, maybe we won't. But there are really only two religions in the world, those of Satan's invention and Christianity. Those are the only two religions we have in the world. The amazing thing to see Satan's repertoire of religion is that he is the master of infinite variety and innovation. He's always coming up with something new. He always can come up with something new. He doesn't care whether it's new, old, different. He really is indiscriminate as long as it isn't the gospel. Whereas the church never changes in what it confesses. It remains, as St. Paul will say, the pillar and the foundation of the truth. Thanks for your comment on the comment line. By the way, anybody who wants a comment there anytime, 24-7, 618-223-8382, 618-223-8382.
Jeff says, Pastor Todd, I always hear about how I'm supposed to have a personal relationship with Jesus. However, I don't find any support for this in Scripture. Am I missing something? Is there any way I can have a personal relationship with Jesus apart from word and sacrament? Is the whole personal relationship with Jesus thing just a form of enthusiasm? Thanks for the email and thanks for listening, Jeff.
Well, yes, in its popular form, this notion that you have to kind of have the warm, fuzzy, arm around your shoulder, group hug with Jesus that we think of when we hear the word personal relationship. Let me put it to you this way. Jeff says I'm a recluse. I'm not really a recluse. I just, this job tends to isolate you from people who are actually your friends. It's just one of the hazards of the business, is it tends to isolate you from people who are actually your friends in terms of time and all those things. It's not that I don't have friends. It's that when you're on most days, you kind of like to get away from that all the time. And besides, working with Jeff and Craig will turn anyone into a recluse. If this is all you see all day long, you're just going to stay home every night, hoping not to run into any more of it. So my personal relationships, to use that parlance, consist of a pretty small group of people. And everybody else, I'll just be honest, I hold everybody else pretty much at arm's length because I only have so much time. And I only have so much person of myself to give out. And between wife and children and extended family, that's about it for me. And those personal relationships are intensely personal. People who know me, like my wife and my children, better than anyone in the world. We have regular interaction. We see each other. We rub shoulders in our house. Our house is very small, literally rubbing shoulders on a daily basis. If that's what you're expecting out of Jesus, this kind of Jesus is my best friend, Jesus is the guy I like to hang with, if that's what you're expecting out of Jesus, you're going to be sorely disappointed, or you're going to, as you have pointed out, you're going to go off into a kind of pietism where the Jesus that you have a personal relationship isn't the Jesus of Scripture, but the Jesus that you have installed and imagined in your own heart. Sad to say, that's often just a relationship with yourself, not with Jesus. You've rightly answered your own question. The most personal, the only relationship that a sinner can have with Jesus is through the means that he has appointed to come to us. And it is an intensely personal relationship. It is a relationship with the person, the very person of Jesus himself, through his word and his sacraments. Now, the modern pietist, the modern evangelical, is going to say that seems impersonal. It's because they fail to believe what Christ says of these things. Christ says of baptism, this is so personal, he will unite you through the water of baptism and his word in his suffering and death. Do you get more personal than that, than actually being joined to Christ in his suffering and death? He will unite you with his burial. You get buried in his tomb. That's pretty darn personal. He will unite you with his resurrection. I can't think of anything more personal than the Lord's Supper. Take, eat my body. I don't have that kind of personal relationship with anyone in the world except Jesus. Take and eat my body for the forgiveness of sins. Drink my blood. That is so personal. But it's not individualistic and it's not private. When we say personal relationship with Jesus, if we want to use those terms rightly understood through his word and sacraments, we don't mean private relationship. Sadly, that's what a lot of evangelicals mean. They mean it's me and my Jesus, and my Jesus is mine and he's not yours. It's not a private relationship. It's not an individual relationship. It is decidedly corporate, and yet at the same time, decidedly personal. But I can't think of anything more personal than how Christ has instituted these means through his word and sacraments to come to us. One more thought on the personal relationship. Guess how it begins and how it's maintained. This is not a relationship that I establish with Jesus. I don't write him a fan letter asking him to become my pen pal, and he agrees to say, okay, well, we'll see how this goes. No. I don't invite him into my heart so that he can see how cozy it is in there, and hopefully I've appointed it so beautifully he'll never want to leave. No. It is Jesus himself who begins, initiates, establishes this relationship with me, a sinner. It's a pretty one-sided relationship, I'll tell you that. He does all the work, I do all the receiving. He does all the giving, I do all the getting. I'm constantly in need of his forgiveness. I never have to forgive Jesus for a single thing. I'm sinning against him, he's forgiving me. It's such a one-sided relationship. So if you want to use those terms, personal relationship, they're fine as long as you understand them the way Jesus understands them. When we come back, we're going to spend some more time going through listener email here in the second hour of Issues Etc. live this Tuesday, May the 13th, and the Issues Etc. comment line. Stay tuned. I don't care how much money I gotta spend. Got to get back to my baby again. Lonely days are gone, I'm a going home. My baby just wrote me a letter.
In Hosea 4, we read, "My people are destroyed by lack of knowledge." At the CLCC, we educate Lutherans on being Lutheran. The Confessional Lutherans for Christ's Commission treasure our Lutheran beliefs and think that all Christians would if they learned what we believe, teach, and confess. Visit our website at theclcc.org. See what we have to offer. Get on our mailing list, or better yet, join us and encourage your pastors to hold an event in your area. For more information, go to theclcc.org.
Whether building a new home, remodeling an existing home, or tackling the weekend project, it is important to have the materials and advice needed to get the job done. RP Lumber offers estimates for professional building materials and services for drywall, decking, siding, shingles, cabinets, and kitchen and bath design to the general contractor and the individual homeowner. Delivery available with over 50 local community locations. For 37 years, RP Lumber.
Those beautiful notes were just the beginning of We Praise You and Acknowledge You, O God, Concordia Publishing House's debut CD collection from Pastor Stephen Starkey, one of the most significant Lutheran hymn writers of our time. For a limited time, save 10% when you use promotional code URA. Simply visit cph.org today. Lutheran thought, Lutheran substance, Lutheran music, brought to you by Concordia Publishing House.
Imagine SteadfastLutherans.org as the internet version of your neighborhood pub, your neighborhood confessional Lutheran pub, that is, where the finest in Lutheran conversation is going on at every table and at the bar, sometimes contentious, but always informative and unabashedly Lutheran. We're only serving Wittenberg Ale. We even have a guy named Norm, so check us out. www.SteadfastLutherans.org. We'll save a seat at the bar for you.
Providing artillery support for the church militant on the front lines, you're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Our Savior Lutheran, Westminster, Massachusetts. Redeemer Lutheran, Fairhope, Alabama. St. Matthew Lutheran, Stony Plain, Alberta, Canada. Holy Cross Lutheran, Moline, Illinois. St. Paul Lutheran, Munster, Indiana. St. John Lutheran, Racine, Wisconsin. Calvary Lutheran, Baltimore, Maryland. Reformation Lutheran, Afton, Missouri. Emmanuel Lutheran, Lima, Ohio. Risen Lord Lutheran, Taylorsville, Kentucky. Prince of Peace Lutheran, Crystal Lake, Illinois. And Trinity Lutheran, Elmore, Ohio. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to issuesetc.org, click support, and print the one-page flyer. When your congregation becomes a congregational sponsor, we'll publicize your church on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal, the Issues Etc. 300.
Did you get my message? Ooh.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Another half hour going through the listener email and the Issues Etc. comment line. That number for the comment line again, 618-223-8382. 618-223-8382.
John writes, just got done listening to Pastor Ted Giese review the movie Heaven is for Real. Talk about a missed opportunity. Pastor Giese totally missed the opportunity to tell thinking Lutherans to stay away from garbage like this. How any pastor could even give the slightest recommendation to see a movie like this is beyond me. Why would anyone recommend someone to go see a movie that depicts God as a winged creature and Jesus with yellow hair and blue eyes? Not even the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians 12 would boast about being caught up to the third heavens. Yet we would have people believe this Burpo kid? Not even Jesus Christ would tell us all the time of his second appearing. Colton Burpo is more than happy to tell us. It is within the lifetime of his own father. There is the very real issue of the apostolic authority. God himself set the conditions by which new revelations of life after life must be ratified, namely confirmation by those who were eyewitnesses to the resurrection of Jesus. With the death of the apostles, there can be no new revelations, much less new revelations that compromise, confuse, or outright contradict the faith that was once for all given and delivered to the saints, Jude 3. Pastor Giese totally missed the opportunity, and I think you should look for a new pastor to do your movie reviews that is more in line with confessional Lutheranism, concludes John.
John, I think you should go back and listen to the review again, actually, because about 80% of the points you made there were actually made in the course of that review. So please go back and listen to it again. I think we made it abundantly clear in the course of that review that Colton Burpo and his father are not to be believed, that this was actually fiction. Hey, guys, keep it down in there. I can hear you. You can hear Jeff laughing in there. That's because we're separated by a less substantial wall than, well, I wouldn't even call it a wall. It's more like a curtain, really. So in the course of that review, it was not in any way, although I think I did ask him about, I might have asked him about, do you recommend people going to this movie? And it was about the most non-committal recommendation, I guess if you want to. I mean, if you have to, if you're that curious, go ahead. But we brought up the St. Paul thing. We brought up the fact that these are obviously fictions of either the child's mind, I think more likely dad's mind. I regard this stuff as a hoax, now a very lucrative hoax, to which Christians have, for some reason, decided to play along. But if you listen to the review, you'll see that in no way were we suggesting that anyone believe what Colton Burpo has to say. We're simply reviewing the movie for what it is, the claims that it make, and comparing it to the book. And I think we tried to make it clear enough that when someone does have a vision of heaven, and the only one we know of on apostolic authority is Paul himself, people don't come back and write books about it. Paul says, I was there, I saw it. I don't know whether it was in the body or the spirit, but what I saw and I heard is not permitted to be spoken. And if that, I think that alone says that Colton Burpo, whatever he saw, whatever he heard, it wasn't heaven. If it were, he wouldn't be talking about it. Certainly wouldn't be writing the book, and certainly wouldn't be signing contracts for the movie options either. Again, my private opinion is this is just a hoax that Christians have willingly participated in. But because people are watching it, because it's out there, we're reviewing it. So please go back and listen to the review one more time. What's got you laughing in there so hard?
You don't want to know.
Okay.
Okay. I told you during the break. Craig asked me if I have a friend who commutes regularly to Chicago, by regularly, like once a week. Okay? Lord Feichninger. Okay, we're talking Chicago. I ask why.
It's about a 4.5-hour drive.
He has something that he wants shipped from greater Chicago to here, right? So he basically wants somebody to serve as a one-way courier from Chicago to here to bring something. He for free. For free. So that's what I was laughing about.
Okay, so he's just looking for someone who is going to be in Chicago to pick up some package for him and bring it back to him.
Yeah, this is Chicago. I mean,
you know, Craig, you can't pay someone to do that for you. They
he's the cheapest person I have ever met in my entire life, livelihood. I mean, I was like, and then he's like, well, so do you know anybody? I said, well, if I did, I'm not going to put him in contact with you. Hey, buddy, my friend wants you to go to Chicago, since you go there, and bring something back for him. You don't want to say what it is, do you? Okay, he doesn't want to say what it is.
I'm sure it's some kind of sports memorabilia. So, I mean, there are only so many solutions here.
Should we go there? Do we need to go there?
To the sports memorabilia?
Yes. When was that? Was
you're
that
the
right
producer of the
Easter
show.
Or after Easter? Craig, trying every contact he has, including LPR contacts, to get free tickets to the Cardinals-Cubs game, okay, on a Saturday because they had some memorabilia ring for winning the National League Championship Series last year. Is that what it was? Okay. So Craig's wanting free tickets. He's pursuing, working all the angles to get them. Couldn't find any. We bought tickets for the Schwarz family, okay? And I gladly brought one of these rings back for Lord Feichninger. So he still was able to get the ring for free. So, need
I
say more?
That's it. Well, you're telling that story. Allowed me to respond to someone who's texting me, so thank you.
Okay, yeah, there's more on Pastor Giese's review of Heaven is for Real. Bud says, last night I went to see the movie, and I would like to add my comments to those of Pastor Giese's. I don't know from Pastor Giese's comments about the book if this was a theme in that work, but it appeared to me that because Greg Kinnear was the name actor in the movie, did I pronounce that right?
Kinnear, yeah.
Kinnear, okay. In the movie, they focus on his character Todd Burpo's crisis of faith. The details his son comes back with are enough to cause people to wonder about what they have believed, and especially this Wesleyan minister, Todd Burpo. In the end, as a Lutheran and as someone who loves sermon reviews on issues, etc., I found myself counting the number of times Christ was mentioned in the sermons, whether he was the subject or the object of the verbs, and what those verbs were. I wound up reflecting that this pastor came so close to a good sermon, but changed it from what Christ has done for us to what we should do with Christ. Thanks for the email, and thanks for listening, Bud.
Well, golly, that's pretty typical. That doesn't surprise me at all. I'm glad you were able to use the diagnostic in the course of looking at the movie as well, but it doesn't surprise me a bit. I mean, that's exactly the thing that has been substituted for the gospel in many evangelical churches, intentionally substituted for the gospel, right where you would expect and right where it would be required of a preacher to comfort sinners with what Christ has done, the preacher attempts to comfort sinners with what they need to do. I call it preaching the Christian rather than the Christ. Right where the gospel should go, they insert. Now, if you're feeling bad about how you've fallen short and sinned against God, I got good news for you. You'll do better next time. Just try a little harder. And here are a few rules to help you out, keep you on the straight and narrow. Right where Christ should go, the Christian is inserted. Right where the cross should go comes, well, let's just call it what it is. Good works. And that's no comfort at all.
Dave in Fergus Falls, Minnesota, reacts to your recent interview with Chris Roseboro of Fighting for the Faith on the church in Canada that had starting doing church services in a
strip club. Yeah.
Strip club. What did they call it? A gentleman's club.
That episode I remember. No other episodes do I remember. That's the one I remember.
What's the difference between a gentleman's club and a strip club?
Don't ask me.
Because the news headline said gentleman's club.
You're the one with the checkered past. You tell me.
I don't know. I don't know. I've always heard it as a strip club.
I assume it was.
Well, David said, we had strippers in our Lutheran church last week. At the end of Monday-Thursday service, the altar was stripped of its paraments.
Very clever, David. Very clever. Well, that's the only kind of stripping that belongs in the church.
Paul writes, regarding your interview with Dr. Bart Ehrman, yes, historians can handle miracles. Absent archaeological evidence, historians must work with eyewitness accounts, and last I checked, Matthew, Mark, and John were disciples and eyewitnesses. If enough eyewitnesses claim that X happened, whether Washington crossing the Delaware or Jesus raising the dead, then that claim is equally valid whether X is miraculous or not. The reliability of the witnesses is the only factor. Dr. Ehrman also seems to totally dismiss any previous scholarship on the matter. He claims that there are numerous discrepancies in the Gospels, while totally ignoring the existing work explaining those differences. For example, that they were writing for different audiences and different purposes and were not writing modern histories but first century letters. Thanks for the email and thanks for listening, Paul.
Here's the dirty little secret about Bart Ehrman. I've interviewed him 3 times, and we do it because his books are bestsellers. That's why we do it. We do not do it because he is taken seriously by biblical scholars. He isn't, or at least he shouldn't be. The only people who take Bart Ehrman's scholarship seriously are his publisher, who makes a lot of money off his books, and people who buy his books to read them, who don't know any better, who think that they're getting this kind of new scholarship on the Bible that everyone's been hiding from them. Even Bart Ehrman admits that he is just recycling 200-year-old historical criticism that, by the way, is not taken seriously by any reputable biblical scholars anymore. Not that they haven't moved on to something even more egregious. They have. They've moved on to lots of things more egregious. But the classical method of historical criticism, while still entertained by a few fossils out there, and Bart Ehrman, is no longer taken seriously. Precisely because it's completely dishonest in the way that it approaches Scripture. It's completely selective in the way that it approaches Scripture. It has finally been shown to be just a completely bogus way of approaching the Bible. That doesn't stop Bart Ehrman from writing books, and it doesn't stop the publishers from making money off of it, and it doesn't mean that we shouldn't respond to it. You just need to understand that we're not dealing with N.T. Wright, who actually sits down and does serious biblical scholarship, wherein, even though his conclusions are sometimes bogus, he does take the text seriously. Bart Ehrman claims to be a scholar of a text that he does not take seriously, that he dismisses as the whim strikes him. That's not scholarship. I don't know what it is, but it's not scholarship. We're going through listener email and the Issues Etc. comment line. It's May the 13th, Tuesday afternoon. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. Just a little bit more right after this.
Communication's never been as easy as today. Would make me happy when you've gone so far away.
There are nearly 20 million college students in the United States. 40% will stop going to church during college. 50% will never return. The Lutheran Church Missouri Synod is seeking to meet this challenge through LCMSU. Why? Because 100% of college students matter to God and to His church. College is tough. You need Jesus. We'll help. LCMSU. Check us out at lcms.org/lcmsu.
Every week, Ravenelli's Restaurant and Carryout cooks up 29,000 pieces of chicken, 980 gallons of meat sauce, 310 loaves of fresh bread, and 200 fresh pies and cakes. Ravenelli's Restaurant and Carryout in Granite City, Collinsville, and O'Fallon, Illinois. Ravanellis.com, RAVANELLIS.com. Ravanellis Restaurant and Carryout.
Lutheran. It's not a slogan. It's a confession. You're listening to Issues Etc.
I think every man, every Christian should consider, at least, the possibility of God calling him into the holy ministry.
Issues Etc. regular guest, Dr. Carl Fekencher of Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Because that's the way that God has designed for faith in Christ Jesus to be spread, for the gift of eternal life that Christ Jesus earned by His death and resurrection to be shared with people by the washing of baptism for infants and for adults, for the instruction, the proclamation of the word that happens on a nonstop basis in God's kingdom. God uses people, He uses men to be those proclaimers, to be those men who share the sacraments.
If you've ever considered becoming a pastor, contact Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Their phone number, 1-800-481-2155, 1-800-481-2155, or visit ctsfw.edu.
If you call,
I will answer.
If you follow,
welcome back. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. We're coming to you live this Tuesday afternoon, May the 13th. 10 more minutes in the program. 10 more minutes with the listener email and the Issues Etc. comment line.
1 month from today.
Really? Yeah, it is the 13th, isn't it? 1 month from today, the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference. I just looked in the break there, Jeffy, and we're right under 180
wow.
registered so far. Last year, I think we... the peak attendance over the 2 days of the conference last summer was 232, and we are well ahead of where we were this last year, so that means we're going to have a better attendance than that. Jeff is saying he's thinking 300 at least. Now, that's not going to be crowded. Our venue will hold, I think, about 400, 450 people, but it does mean that the hotel rooms and things like that will be in short supply. So if you're intending to register and you haven't already, do it early. You get a better crack at any hotel rooms if you're coming from out of town. And the vast, vast majority of the attendees come from out of town. I'm just telling you, that's the way it is. The vast, vast majority of the attendees of the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference are coming from out of town and looking for a place to stay. And if you're one of them, it would behoove you to register early. 1 month until the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference. That's June the 13th and the 14th, a Friday and a Saturday. Pastor Jonathan Fisk is going to kick it off. What's the rest of the day look like? The next day looks like Pastor Matt Harrison making the case for confessional Lutheranism in the 21st century. We're going to have Craig Parton in there as kind of the keynote. He's going to give two presentations, defending the historical Jesus and making the case why Christians shouldn't be evangelicals. I'm working from memory. Isn't that amazing? We'll have Dr. Alvin Schmidt making the case for the positive influence of Christianity on culture. Pastor Will Whedon making the case for classical Christian hymnody. Jonathan Fisk of Worldview Everlasting is going to be there, and he's going to be making the case for being both spiritual and religious, and Chris Roseborough fighting for the faith. He'll be making the case against me-centered, what is it? Now my memory fails me.
Me-centered, misquoted Bible passage.
Me-centered, misquoted Bible passage is one of his fortes. That's the whole conference. It runs over those 2 days. $100 registration fee includes meals, and you should register early at our website, issuesetc.org. Click the logo for the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference. If you got any questions, or if you want to register the old-fashioned way, you can go to our Facebook page, go to our website, issuesetc.org, and download the form and write it out and send it to us. Or if you want to do it in an even older way, you can call Craig. Craig is old school. He likes it when people do things like this. He'll say, can you pay us in pennies? Or can you send us a roll of quarters? Something like that. He's very old school. He'll take your phone call, 618-223-8385. Ask Craig about the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference.
Two things. Number one, been a little hard on Craig here, but
that's yes, we have.
We want a tight bean counter, right? That's a good thing.
Oh yeah, we want someone who's tight, but there are extremes to such things.
Nobody's called in yet to offer to courier Craig's anonymous.
Well, like I say, smartest
package.
Listeners in radio. So
who knows what that is in that package? You might spend some jail time should you get caught.
I highly recommend you don't exceed
the speed limit. Make sure your stickers are up to date.
I would definitely, if you say, what am I carrying for you, Craig? What am I supposed to be carrying back? And he says, why are you asking? He's not going to tell you. He's not going to tell you. That'll be his little secret. Who knows what it is?
Just trust Craig. Trust me. Secondly, Craig brought up a very good point. That there's probably like 27 hotel rooms we have left reserved. That's the Hampton Inn here in Collinsville. So if you're waiting to reserve a hotel room, you better not. There's a big auto race, and I think we've got those held until the end of the month.
Yeah.
There's a big auto race in town. All the other hotels are booked.
That weekend is impossible.
In Collinsville.
Yeah. We only got those.
St. Louis maybe or something or other. But if you want to get close to the venue at Good Shepherd here in Collinsville, call the Hampton Inn. I think it's $85 a night. We've got a special rate for the Making the Case Conference.
We only got those because we called ahead a couple months ago And we found out that most of them are already booked, and we set aside a bunch for the attendees, but they're going fast.
Back to email. Dana, yeah. I'm looking into repentance a little more closely. Google got me this far. Repentance is properly understood to mean a change of mind, a change of the intention from wanting to sin to not wanting to sin that results in a change in action. Biblically, repentance means to turn from sin with a heartfelt desire to change and not to do it again. This is a different definition. Many understand the term repentance to mean turning from sin. This is not the biblical definition of repentance. In the Bible, the word repent means to change one's mind. Any suggestions? Writes Dana.
Yes, one big one. And this is where people get hung up on repentance. Does the word, the Greek word for repentance, usually used for repentance, does it mean a change of mind? Yes, it does. It does it mean to change one's own mind? Not necessarily. In fact, it can't mean that when speaking of the kind of repentance that Scripture speaks of. It is change. Repentance is a change that is made in the mind, the heart, the will of the sinner. He changes his mind on how he regards himself in sin. The mind is changed on how what he wants, whether he wants to sin. It has all that strong element of change. It most certainly does. The only question is, when it comes to biblical repentance, who makes that change? If you are left to make that change on your own, guess what? You'll never repent. You might manage the kind of, what do they say, kind of a pagan sorrow. Scripture talks about a sorrow over sins that is not repentance. If you leave it up to yourself to effect this change that is repentance, you'll never repent. You'll do everything but repent. You'll go through all the motions, you'll feel bad, all that kind of stuff, but it won't be repentance. The kind of godly sorrow that Scripture talks about that is repentance can only be made by God himself through the preaching of his law and through, and it is a part and parcel of faith in the gospel as well. So the real question is not what is repentance, it's change. The real question when it comes to biblical repentance is who makes that change? David is listening in New York. David?
Hello. Hey. Hi.
What's your question or comment? Yeah.
My comment is that you're sort of promoting antinomianism, you know, where you're sort of basically saying that, you know, Christ has done everything and, you know, we basically don't have to do anything. But that sort of, it's sort of, for me, I find it sometimes sort of illogical. It's not an appropriate word. By the sheer fact that we are saying that contradicts that very statement. You see what I mean? In other words, the fact that you have to sort of say that you have to do something, you know, and that's where I find it sort of contradictory.
All right, Dave, thank you very much. Thanks for listening in New York. Well, look, if you have to do something, I'll just put it to you this way, Dave. If you have to do something when it comes to either repentance or the forgiveness of sins, then you'll never do enough. Even if yours is only 1%, God does 99% and you do the one. You can't do the one. If a sinner's going to be saved, it's going to have to be God's work from beginning to end. That's kind of the definition of grace. That's kind of the definition of the kind of forgiveness that God gives, dependent in no way whatsoever on what we do. Now, I know our minds say, our logic says, the force of our will says, there has to be something that I do. It can't all be God. But unless it's all God acting on us through the Holy Spirit by his word to effect, to begin, to work, to continue, and to complete this thing we call salvation, then it's not grace. If it's only 1% works, only 1% an act of my will, only one tenth of 1%, 1/100 of 1%, then it isn't grace. If there's one thing left over for you to do that Jesus didn't take care of for you, then Jesus didn't really save you, did he? He got you to the point where you could save yourself. He did his part, but he left the most crucial and important thing to you. And that's not grace. And there's no assurance there. And you really never can be sure if you think, I gotta do something, I have to do something. You can never, ever really be sure, can you, that you've done it sufficiently, done it sincerely enough. Just leave it to Jesus. He did it all. Tomorrow on Issues Etc., we'll review a sermon preached by Pastor David Peterson on sorrow, joy, and motherhood. Thanks for listening.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
When you need a friend, you have a friend in Jesus Christ, the Good Shepherd, and friends among his people at Good Shepherd Lutheran Church, Arnold, Missouri. At Good Shepherd Lutheran Church, we offer Christ-centered word and sacrament ministry, inspirational liturgical worship services, and faithful preaching and teaching. Sunday worship services are at 9 a.m. Sunday school and Bible class are at 10:30. We also have an excellent Christian preschool. We invite you to join us. Good Shepherd Lutheran Church, 2211 Tenbrook Road, Arnold, Missouri, 636-296-1292.
Here's a special offer for Issues Etc. listeners. For any size gift during the Easter season, we'll send you a CD of an Easter sermon and a sermon on the prophet Job preached by Pastor Todd Wilkin. You can donate online, issuesetc.org. You can also donate by check. Issues Etc., Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. And for any size gift between Easter Sunday and Ascension Day, we'll send you a CD of two of Todd's sermons.